Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak on the things in God's Word, and if any time you have a question or a comment, or maybe a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to study on the program, feel free to contact us. You can do so at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. While most of the religious world teaches some type of baptism, there's a great confusion and diversity regarding the proper method of baptism, who constitutes a suitable candidate for baptism, and the purpose and significance of baptism. In our study this morning, we'd like to look at this confusion and consider what is a very simple New Testament teaching on this subject of baptism. First of all, what is baptism? The word that's translated baptize in our New Testament means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, submerge, according to Sayer's Greek-English lexicon. The name baptisma refers, which is translated baptism, means immersion, submersion, and that's from the same Sayer's Greek-English lexicon. The thing is that our English word is not really a translated word from the Greek, but it is a equivalent word, letter for letter, transliteration of the Greek to the English. So the word baptized that you see in our Bibles, whether it be King James, New King James, or some of the other translations, is not a translated word. But if it were translated, it would say immerse. Now, the use of the word, when it comes to the Greek Old Testament, we find that there, in the translation of the Old Testament, done before, of course, the time of Christ, and it was popular in New Testament times, we find that Naaman is described as having dipped seven times in the River Jordan in 2 Kings 5 and verse 14. This makes it clear that the word was used to describe a complete submersion. And then we find that the use of the word in the New Testament is when we, for instance, see Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. Both are described as going down into and coming up out of the water in Acts 8, verses 38 and 39. So see, this would only be necessary if the eunuch's baptism was a complete immersion in water. And two, Paul likens baptism to being a burial in Romans 6, the first six verses of that chapter. Sprinkling and pouring do not compare in likeness to a burial, does it? There's no example, in fact, in the Scriptures of sprinkling or pouring being substituted for or described as baptism. Well, then who needs to be baptized? We find that Simon the Sorcerer was a mature individual in Acts 8, verses 9 and 13. The same was true with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 36. Saul, we see, was a mature man in Acts 9. There's no example of a newborn infant being baptized in the New Testament. All of those that were subject for baptism are mature and accountable for their actions and their choices. What are the requirements before baptism, before a person can be baptized? Well, one must believe in Jesus in order to be a candidate for baptism. That's what Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So friends, a newborn infant is not capable of belief or even disbelief, as they are not a suitable candidate for baptism. Another thing that's needed before baptism can be administered is one must repent of their sins in order to be a candidate for baptism. When those that had crucified Christ in Acts chapter 2 asked the question, men and brethren, what should we do? The first thing that Peter told them was, repent, in Acts 2 and verse 38. And yet, when we see and compare this to a newborn infant is not guilty of sin, nor are they capable of repenting, so they are not a suitable candidate for baptism. So what is the purpose and the significance of baptism? When you look at John's baptism, which we know John was a forerunner of Christ, that is, he came before, he came to prepare the way for Christ. Even before Jesus began to teach baptism, John the Baptist was baptizing, doing a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin in Mark 1 and verse 4. In Ephesus, we find that Paul encountered some who had received only John's baptism and not Christ, there in Acts the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Let's go and turn and look at what we read in Acts chapter 19. He says that it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all of the men were about 12. So we see then that they were taught the distinction between the baptism of John and the baptism of Christ. And when they learned the distinction, then they were instructed to be baptized into Christ, and that's exactly what they did. So we see that this account teaches us that baptism must be carried out for the proper purpose in order for it to be acceptable unto God. So we see then that baptism is necessary for salvation. Look with me at 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter, and let's begin our reading at verse 18. For Christ also has suffered for us and suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but to answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's an appeal to God for a good conscience. Baptism is necessary for salvation. And baptism is putting us into Christ. Notice in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and look as we read beginning with verse 26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, the Bible does not describe someone as having put on Christ or being in Christ before or without being baptized. And yet there are so many today who say that you can be saved from your sins and not have to be baptized. But friends, not only can we not be saved from our sins, we cannot be in Christ until we are baptized. There's no scripture that says we believe and that puts us into Christ. There's no scripture that says that we repent and repentance puts us into Christ. And there's no passage that says that we confess and that puts us into Christ. The only thing that we read in the scriptures that puts us into Christ, and don't misunderstand me, faith, repentance, confession is just as necessary. But those are not things that put us into Christ. It is baptism that is stated that puts us into Christ. So if we're willing to hear, if we're willing to believe, if we're willing to repent of our sins, and with our mouth confess Christ to be the Son of God, as Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 teaches, then we can be buried with Christ in baptism, as Romans 6 verses 1, 2, and 3 teaches. And when we're buried with Christ in baptism, we are baptized into Christ. So then, it's in baptism that we wash away our sins. In Acts chapter 22, when Paul was relating his conversion that we can read about in Acts 9, notice what he says in Acts 22, beginning with verse 14. And he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul was not forgiven of his sins before his being baptized, but he needed to be baptized in order to receive the forgiveness of sin, just like you and I today. The only way we can have our sins forgiven is through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ washes away our sins, but we don't contact that blood until we are buried with him in baptism. Romans chapter 6. Friends, I believe it's clear from the scriptures that baptism is an act of immersion or submersion in water. I believe that we can see from the scriptures that it's carried out on those who are mature, they are accountable, and they are those who have first come to believe in Jesus and repent of their sins. I believe we've seen from the scriptures that baptism is necessary for salvation. And I believe that we've seen from the scriptures that the means by which we put on Christ is through baptism. And I believe that we have shown from the scriptures that the means by which we wash away our sins is through the blood of Christ that we can only come in contact with when we have been baptized and buried with Christ in baptism. So friends, we urge you today to simply take what the Bible teaches. Examine what we say on this program concerning what the Bible teaches. And if we can be of any assistance or any help to you in obeying the gospel, come and visit with us at the East Albertville Church of Christ. We meet at 4777 U.S. Highway 431, 9:30 on Sunday morning, 5 on Sunday afternoon, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We see that our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow. And until then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.